In today's gospel, the women arrive with spices to anoint Jesus. It shouldn't be lost on us that it has been 3 days. They aren't just planning to anoint a body. They are planning to breathe through their mouths as they visit the decayed body of their friend. They go to anoint Jesus to prepare him for his next journey, the journey of death. And yet they find that he is on a journey of none other than life eternal. They go to anoint Jesus, but instead they are anointed. They are made whole as they are resurrected with Christ. I find that this is true in my own life as I try to teach others and find myself the student, as I try to pray for others and then hear my name on their lips, as I try to serve others and look down to see my own feet being washed. If we are willing to show up to do the compassionate and loving work of the gospel, I find that we often receive our own anointing. The women walk into the tomb, and I imagine them breathing hard through their mouths before then seeing the man in a white robe. I wonder if in their alarmed state they began to breathe deeper, realizing then that the tomb had no stench at all. Instead, it was full of only the sweet smell of their oils and spices. The good news for me on this glorious Easter day is not only that Jesus is alive. The good news for me is that Jesus walks out of the stench of death and into the fresh air of everlasting life. He leaves the catacombs of fear and violence to meet us on the tranquil shores of Galilee. He doesn't just leave pain behind. He continues to bear his scars, but he bears those scars as he walks on resurrected feet in a resurrected body. The man in a white robe says to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Go, tell his disciples that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." As a child, I did not have daycare. I had grandparents. My grandmare made us her favorite meals, and my pawpaw took me on walks around the neighborhood. They both let me help in the garden, and I learned quickly how to harvest my own pecans and figs for snack time in the backyard. I spent my days with them from as far back as I can remember until the age of 4. One day, as I was saying goodbye, for some reason I didn't want to leave my pawpaw behind. He went to hug me goodbye, but instead he took me into his arms and swung me around, his own Easter lilies blurring as I spun and as I laughed all the way. The next day, he had a heart attack. And only days after his heart attack, he died. Even as a 4-year-old, I treasured and loved this man who kept me each day with my grandmare. This is my earliest remembrance of death, and images from this time of grief can still be seen in my mind's eye. I don't know the exact words, but finally I asked Mama what death meant for Pawpaw. What had happened to him? Did his heart stop because he swung me? Was that final act of love just too much for his body to bear? I didn't grow up in a Christian family, so the ideas of death and resurrection weren't firmly planted in my mind. I truly didn't know what to think or how to feel. But still, my mom, when faced with the impossible task of both grieving the loss of her dad and also trying to explain that loss to her daughter, said this. "You know how we go to the beach every summer, and we go by Pawpaw and Grandmare's house to pick them up before we go? Well, we're all still going, but he has gone before us. Pawpaw has gone on to the beach. He has gone before us, but we will meet him there, as he promised." It was a simple explanation of death, but for me, it sits just right. Papa and I were and are separated, but that distance between us is full of hope. Mama didn't use Christian language, but she said something to the effect of, "He has been raised. He is not here. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he promised." And so until I see the face of Jesus and am potentially proven wrong, I say my papa is on the shores of Galilee. He has been raised. He is not here. There I will see him again. The answer my mother gave me at the tender age of 4 did not dispel my grief. It did not end my confusion. It did not take away my shock. But it did, in a way I cannot describe, fill my troubled and tiny heart with hope. And so the women leave the tomb. But the gospel is so poignant in that it explains that they fled, for terror and amazement had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So the women, like me, were no less free of grief, no less free of confusion, and no less shocked. But I imagine there might have been some comfort, if only because some of Jesus' odd sayings from his last days were finally coming true. While I might want to pretend that faced with the resurrected Christ, I would burst into my best stanza of "Christ the Lord is risen today," the truth is that I do not know to what extent I would crumble. I'm confident that I would sing my more familiar chorus of fear and doubt. When the women show up at the tomb, they are doing something very specific. They are showing up to this tomb willing to make themselves unclean by touching the dead body of Jesus. And yet they are not made unclean at all. They are instead the first to learn the news of Jesus' resurrection. They are the first witnesses to that beautiful empty tomb. The resurrection story from the Gospel of Mark is interesting because it ends with the women saying nothing to anyone out of fear and amazement. But you see, we know that eventually this beautiful truth ended up being shared. What is even more interesting is that the man in the white robe, the one who heralds the news that Jesus Christ is risen today, actually tells them to go tell others, and they don't. I like to imagine the women thinking to themselves that if they shared this outlandish tale, there would be no way that Peter and the other disciples would believe them. So they just didn't say anything. But you see, truth that is meant to be shared cannot be contained. We know because of the fact that we sing Alleluias today that the women did finally share the truth of the resurrected Jesus. I've said this before, but it bears repeating, especially on this day. God chose to place the good news of the resurrected Christ on the lips of women. Women were the first people to share this truth that is the foundation of the whole Christian faith. The women are not made unclean at all. Instead, they are anointed and made to be the first preachers of the eternal love of Jesus. Yes, the women were afraid, and at first they didn't say a word. But finally, that truth that is bigger than life itself had to be shared. I think too often I encounter the tremendous love of Jesus, and I stay in that place of shock and fear. I don't always make it to the place where the truth has to be shared and is shared by me. These women were far from unclean. They were instead resurrected with Jesus, whether they knew it in that moment or not. Amazement, fleeing, these are appropriate responses to discovering that your friend that you watched die, whose decaying body you were ready to anoint, has not died at all. These are appropriate responses when Jesus, even far from you, can transform your uncleanliness into your resurrection. And our own resurrection that we have gained through the power and love of Christ, who chose to roll away the stone for us, calls us to proclaim the truth of the resurrected Lord, even when we find ourselves full of amazement and begging to flee. May we remember on this most holy day that what should smell like decay is instead the sweet, spiced smell of resurrection. And what should have been a tomb of death is instead the birthplace of our eternal lives. And what should have caused tears of sorrow instead brought the joyful news that death is ended forever. May we be amazed that any God would anoint us alongside his Son. May we flee from the tombs of our lives, being sent out to invite all around us to meet Jesus on the shores of Galilee. And may we live lives that share the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth that is everlasting life. Amen.